Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited.
It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Good multiple stint for the guys, for Tristan Nunes. I think we can blame Joe Bradley. He was down there at 47 Motorsport, and Mark Farmer just took the car out and threw it into the grass just coming out of turn five. He's recovered, very distinctive with the yellow marker lights on that car, and he is again pointing in the right direction. You're listening to IMSA Radio, part of the Radio Show Limited network of audio and visual channels. We're live from Daytona International Speedway, looking down from the Hagerty Global Broadcast booth onto now a dark. It's full dark here at the Speedway, well lit on the tri-oval and with the Musco system around the track, of course. But the darkness of night means that the temperature on the track has started to fall. It's gone down a couple of degrees in the last hour. Temperature in the air holding steady around about 7 degrees Celsius at the moment. Sirius XM 202 and on imsaradio.com in sound and vision. If you're in a territory that doesn't have any TV deal, you can get the international feed. If you want our audio, it's there for everyone, and no blocks or breaks there. Another racing hour starts right now. Just on 19 hours to go, Peter Mackay has been watching the timing screens.
Oh, difficult times for the number 79 GTD Pro WeatherTech Porsche. That car has been behind the wall. Alessio Piccarello having to bring it in. And the car looks like it's going back out again with Cooper McNeil at the wheel, but it's dropped a long way back, and in a class as competitive as GTD Pro, issues like this are going to be really punishing.
But don't forget, that is the point scoring championship, full season championship car for Cooper McNeil. So he needs to get out there and just get some laps in that car. The other car that he's declared in is now the Rolex watch winning car for him. And this is points make championship positions for him, if you look at it that way around. Hello to Steve. I saw McQueen's Le Mans film in the 80s when I was about 8. Ever since then, there's something about racing at night that fascinates me. It's in some ways the sheer insanity of it, the skill, the endurance of both man and machine, drawn to it like a moth to the headlights, says Steve. I know exactly what you mean. It's almost something illicit about racing in the dark. Even when it's as well lit as this, it's almost like, we shouldn't really be doing this, but we're getting away with it.
Don't tell anybody.
Yes, absolutely. And hello to another tweet from Col on the Isle of Lewis in the Outer Hebrides, Josh Smith. What a race so far. A lot of action in the first 5 hours. This could be another classic. Already has been. I think you're right there. Absolutely right. Hello to Ian McCarthy. Who is listening in as well. And Spooner in orange. What's the best internal light colour these days? Is it the science or is it sponsor coloured? Recall the Hondas and BTC night races were red. The Jimmy Johnson car is blue with his sponsors. Matches with his sponsor scheme. Coincidence? I think blue is the one that they normally pick, Spooner, if I'm actually honest about it. I had a long chat many years ago. Peter and I were talking, last night with a Formula One journalist about Mark Webber. And Mark gave me chapter and verse about how much time they spent on the Porsche 919 project, of getting the right fluorescent colours on the right bits of the steering wheel and the right amount of black light or illumination so that you could see which dial you had to twiddle and where it was without killing your night vision, particularly for Le Mans. It's always much darker. Battle out on the circuit. The number 48 Ally Cadillac we were mentioning, that is Jimmy Johnson, has got the number 02 Kevin Magnussen car right up his tailpipes as he goes through turn number one. Now down to the short chute. Down to turn number five, should I say. And Jimmy Johnson going down the inside of the ERA LMP car. Here comes Magnussen round the outside into turn six. This will be a brave manoeuvre. And Jimmy just eased slightly to the right there and said to Kevin, no thanks, I think we'll be carrying on. As now Kevin goes round the outside at turn five and heads into that position, takes it. So I was right the first time. That was coming out of turn one. That does look different from the helicopter. Very different indeed. So Kevin Magnussen and Jimmy Johnson battling for position number four with Richard Westbrook in Cadillac number five. That's the Mustang sampling car in second. Mike Conway, world champion in the FIAWEC, the 31 Whelen car. And Scott Dixon, multiple IndyCar champion, out in the lead. So Scott Dixon leads Mike Conway from Richard Westbrook, from Kevin Magnussen, from Jimmy Johnson, from Ollie Jarvis, from Will Stevens. That's a pretty stout septet, isn't it? Just mull on that for a moment while Joe Bradley gives us some more from the pits.
I seem to be going through a sequence of LMP3 pit stops. I'm watching in the 74 Riley Motorsport Ligier pit, and Michael Cooper has just brought the car in. Michael, what are you going to report to your engineer? I know you haven't had a chance to speak to him yet.
Yeah, just a little bit about how the car balance is and what the track conditions are like right now. You know, my first stint in WeatherTech, you know, just doing a single, getting my feet wet, and, you know, we'll do some more running later tonight.
Are you happy with the balance? You can tell him you're happy?
Yeah, pretty much. Happy with the Riley Motorsports Ranch Resort number 74. So we'll keep running here.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, if you weren't happy with the balance, what sort of things can you be suggesting to the engineer, or what tools do you have in the toolbox to change it during the race? I mean, it's a tricky one.
I just tell them what the balance is and you know, let them do their thing, and I do my job.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thanks, Michael. I'll let you get... I usually say at this point, I'll let you cool off. I'm now saying I'll let you warm up. Steam coming from him.
Right, Rega van der Zander here has just zipped up his Cadillac racing jacket. He's got his hood up, and it's going to be cold, Rega.
Yeah, it's getting cold out here. I mean, I'm having fun out there. It's you know, Daytona is always a special one to start the season with, and I'm feeling more comfortable than ever. We have some nice speed in the car. The crew is doing really, really well so far. It's still a long way to go. I mean, come on, we're only five hours in, and there's so much risk out there. If you cut through in the traffic, it's every corner that you have to overtake someone, you're relying so much on your spotters. And then driving into the dark is always nice. It was a proper Florida sunset on the back stretch, you know. So
you had time to see that?
I was just cruising out there and having fun. So yeah, I was looking at that.
Of course, more cars in this race than for many years, and it does make it really difficult, doesn't it?
It really does. It's something new, you know, for me even. I've been here since 2014, but this is something new. There's so many cars in front of you. Sometimes four wide, sometimes three wide, sometimes I feel there's no spotter on their car, you know, and then they run you off the track if you don't back out of it. But it's really judging risk at every overtake you do. Got some great teammates here, so the Cadillac is running smooth. Long time to go, so no time for big risks yet, but comfortable lead so far.
Will you be able to sleep? Are you going to have a little sleep now?
Yeah, for sure. Big sleep, hopefully, and then getting back tomorrow probably in the car. It's nice to be with four guys on the car, but I have to work a little less then, so that's... I like to work my ass off if we do well, but I'm going to get back in the car, I guess, some very early morning or something like that. I think I was in there for 3 hours, so that was a good stint, and my teammates will do the same.
Good stint. It was a brilliant stint, mate. Well done.
Never get anything other than 100% from Rega van der Zander, even when he's just racing for fun.
The gap is coming down. Mike Conway is in the groove right now at the wheel of the number 31 Whelen Engineering Cadillac, that beautiful red and white machine. Of course, Mike coming off a superb 2021 season and winning Le Mans and the World Championship. But he's going to have to do some. He's going to have to go some, John, to catch that number 01 Chip Ganassi car.
Oh, yeah, I'm down with Mike Hull as the managing director of Chip Ganassi Racing. We were speaking earlier in the week. You said 2 years ago when COVID started, you wondered if all this would be over for Ganassi Racing. And now you've got mega programs, even racing in the desert.
Well, yeah, that's a great comment or a great observation. Just great to be here with the 01 and the 02 Cadillac. Running really well, obviously, right now. But a long way to go. But having eight great athletes like we have driving the race cars and all these team members, it's really fun to be here to race. And this series is a terrific place to be.
Now, Mike, some of our listeners won't know this, but you've been in motor racing almost as long as me, I think, but over 40-odd years. How long has it been?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
How long have you been in racing? A long
time. Me, personally, I'm almost dinosauric.
like me.
Yeah, like you. I've been in motor racing for 60 years now, or around motor racing, and started racing cars when I was young and dumb, and just lucky enough to be accepted in and got to stay. Yeah.
I think you've got four separate programs at Ganassi Racing, is that right? And do you attend all these different series?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, but it's a team. It's not one person in motor racing, as you know. It's a group of people that work together, and that's what creates the longevity of racing teams like Chip Ganassi's team. We worked hard to build it block by block, brick by brick, and what people are seeing today here at Daytona is a result of that work, how hard we've worked to be where we are.
Mike, thanks very much. He's being a little disingenuous, to be honest, because he's a guy that's put so much of this together for Chip. He's a great bloke.
And every good commander needs his lieutenants underneath him, Peter. And when you look at Roger Penske with Tim Sindrick, and you look at Mike Hull there with Chip, and you can go through all of those things down through the years, you've got to find the balance. It's like getting the right guys in the car that work well together. They don't all have to be exactly the same. We're not talking about automata here, we're talking about human beings.
Yeah, you look at the combinations over the past. One of the most iconic combinations, I would say, at this race in our 60th anniversary was Harley Haywood and Peter Gregg. Two quite different characters in many ways, but two exceptional racing drivers. But they just gelled, they just fitted. They understood each other, they went about it in the right way. And their win here back in 1973 was just incredible, to win outright in the little Porsche 911 RSR. And it's great to have Harley here as one of our Grand Marshals this weekend.
You've spoken to Harley in the past.
I had the immense privilege to chat to Harley. He gave up over an hour of his time for our interview, and it was just, I had a big smile on my face the whole interview, and for quite a while after. It's some fantastic stories, and what a polite man as well.
I have spent quite a lot of time with him down through the years with the Primoz connection, and some of the stories that he comes out with. But we've actually spent time talking about quite a lot of other things other than motor racing, which is really, really interesting. He's not a one-trick pony, and he's very interesting guy to talk to, and his observations about what's going on in the world and all that sort of stuff. Great guy to sit down and have a glass of wine with. Let's go to Heart of Racing. It's not been a banner event for them so far, with one of their cars already out of the running, and Ian James can talk a little bit about that and their hopes for their second car with Andrew Marriott.
Yes, indeed, Ian's down here with me. Yeah, it's a game of two halves for you, really. The one car obviously out, but the other one's going pretty strongly, isn't it?
Yeah, it was unfortunate for the 23 car. He got caught up in an incident with a Mercedes who lost it going out of turn six. But yeah, 27 car's going well. We have a slight little problem with it, but we're soldiering on and keep pushing.
What is the problem?
We just got a very slight misfire, so we're losing a bit of top speed, but balance is good, and we'll keep trying.
Ian, you've increased its operation now in WeatherTech to two cars. Have you had to put a lot of extra personnel on and a lot more effort?
Yeah, especially for this event, we're over 30 people now, so it's a big moving train. Logistics is the name of the game, but everybody's done exceptionally well these last 10 days, and very sorry for everybody on the 23 car, the mechanics and the drivers.
Ian, you're another Brit who's come over to the USA to find your fortune in racing, because we go back to you racing in Formula Palmer Audi days, and that was a long time ago, and your father, Reg, of course, terrific Formula Ford and Formula 3 racer, but America seems to be the place to be.
Well, yeah, I was one of the earlier adopters of America. You know, I couldn't find the sponsorship to continue in Europe, so I decided to make the move here, do sports car racing, and I couldn't be happier. You know, got a great wife, family, and America was very good to me. Proud to be an American citizen now.
Very good. Well, team director, but still racing too.
Oh, great guy. Another. We are so fortunate in sports car racing to have a paddock full of people who you'd sit down and have a drink with. And, you know, could talk about racing, could talk about anything. There's far worse places to be than in a sports car paddock, particularly the IMSA paddock. The international nature of this race, Peter, you'll have noticed that this year. Just how many nationalities they are when you're walking around the paddock, when you're getting fed. It's the Ricci Italian boys behind you are chatting away over an espresso, and you've got the Michelin French technicians, you've got the Germans from BMW and from AMG in particular, quite a lot of Brits from all over the place in the UK, and literally every regional accent there. And that's before you start thinking about the Scandinavians and the Antipodeans who are here, and of course the local talent. It's a great place to be.
It's a wonderful blend of talent, and I think it says a lot of what the Rolex 24 Hour is about and why it's so special. And I think this is why I believe the announcement about the revival of the GTP moniker is so important for the future of IMSA. Because why is this race special? Well, because it's been going for 60 years, and you have to think about how special it's been across that time. GTP is the same, and the fact that we're reviving that moniker is just superb. And I know that it means a lot to the drivers who come along and take part.
Davide Rigon is leading in GTD Pro at the moment, but this gap is coming down to Dennis Olsen in second. Ferrari 488 GT3 leads from KCMG Porsche in second, 62-2. So we'll try and pick them out for you the next time they come past us on the start-finish line. And it's normally relatively easy to spot the Ferrari as it howls past us. They're just going into turn six at the moment and onto the high banks. So they are heading through Speedway turn two now and down towards the braking area for the new Le Mans chicane. And in fact, bit of side-by-side action at that area with the G-Drive LMP2 car, one of the Algar Pro Racing cars, just getting in the way of Scott Dixon at the moment, but only for a moment. And the 62 on the banks on the far side. Let's see if we can pick them up, because they were pretty close together. And in fact, is that the 62 heading to the pit lane, followed in by... No, that's prototypes coming in. Literally all you can see is headlights.
Looking at there goes the 62 over the start-finish line now, heading down into turn one. Davide Rigon hard on the brakes in the 488 GT3 with Dennis Olsen in the white, blue and black Porsche 911 right behind. So it's game on in GTD Pro. But at the front of the field, interestingly, it looked like Mike Conway was closing in Scott Dixon really, really fast. And the gap had got to about 6 seconds. It's now all the way back up to sort of 10 or 11 seconds recently. It looked like there was obviously a big pocket of traffic that Scott Dixon had to get through. And that was what slowed his pace up a bit. And then with Mike Conway, same thing happened. And it's kind of equalised out again. What do you see, John?
Down at the Western Horseshoe. The gap is down to nothing in the GTD Pro leading battle. Dennis Olsen is right on the tail. The Ricci Competizione car, they've eschewed any... I think they probably think they're vulgar lights on a Ferrari. It would be like putting go faster stripes on a Ferrari, wouldn't it? You just don't do it. the KCMG Porsche, easy to spot because it's got the very bright blue on it as it is closing in.
It's almost like the KCMG car, fittingly, given they're a team from Hong Kong, it's almost like the Hong Kong skyline with all the,
yes,
the lights across the skyline.
Interesting. I think the Ricci car has got a red light bar only on the left-hand side. Yes, it has.
Oh, wow.
So I hadn't noticed that before as it came past us. They're in the Speedway's turn four at the moment. And Olsen is getting a good run. Leader staying down on the low side there for Davide Rigon. Underneath us. Yeah, definitely only on the left-hand side for that light marker board.
Oh, and Olsen really putting the pressure now as well. He got a great toe coming out of the Le Mans chicane and then getting that toe all the way around the super speedway. So Dennis is such a polite young man, the bespectacled Norwegian. Like many drivers, had a great single-seater career, but the sheer colossal amounts of money required to progress kind of halted single-seaters. He found GT racing, and Porsche found him, and he's driven for all of the top Porsche customer teams. And I had a great chat about with him about driving for the Fricadelli team in Germany, and he really spoke with a lot of heart about driving for that outfit, and he's doing a great job for KCMG right now.
Got to Andrew at Ricci at the moment. Just watch what plays out here. And a little bit of a stumble there for the KCMG car, stuck behind, ironically, the AF Corsa Ferrari. So, Andrew, whilst that gap has gone out again, let's have a word with the Ricci team manager.
Gary Holland's down here. And you know what? He's making me a cup of tea. Gary, this is so kind of you. Now, you're right in the battle here, isn't it? But it's early days.
Yeah, very much. We've got a long way to go yet, so just going through the process now.
Gary, am I right? You're setting up your own team as well in the future?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Tell us a bit about that.
Vector Sport LMP2 in WEC. Early days yet, but we've gone through our testing programme and we're looking forward to getting going.
Excellent. Well, thanks for the tea, mate. And, well, fingers crossed.
Thanks, Andrew. That was a perfect time to get down there for Andrew to get his cup of chat, and also for the Davide Rigon driven car to just eke out a little more of a gap between himself and Dennis Olsen. We'll keep an eye on that as best we can as they come back to the line. Again, Allegra Motorsports are back out on the circuit. The number 28 car has come back from behind the wall. So again, early days in this particular fight. But proof, if proof were needed, that there's plenty of spirit of endurance racing out there. Just after 7 o'clock local time. Good to have your company. Thanks, Peter, for the last couple of hours. We'll see you a little bit later on. And Jeremy Shaw will be back with us right now for the next few hours. Been sitting watching what was going on. And whilst Jeremy gets himself strapped back in, let's hear from Daniel Serra.
Yeah, well, Daniel's just playing with the drinks tube and his crash helmet here. Daniel, got a little bit of modification to do here.
I couldn't hear.
Well, just talking about you sorting out your crash helmet.
Yeah, I'm just trying to fix the drink system here, but yeah, everything's fine. Just waiting for my turn.
And your turn's going to be pretty important. Big battle going on with the Porsches. It's the same old story, Ferrari and Porsche at the front.
Yeah, so far so good. I think it's still really early. There is a lot of race to go, but it seems good.
I'm an old friend of your father, Chico's, actually, and I've been very interested in how you've really got into sports car racing. But do you ever have any thoughts of following your dad into Formula One?
Yeah, of course, I started racing because of my father. I had a few years in single-seaters, but then when I had the chance to change and be professional and start racing GT cars, I think it was a great opportunity and I did it.
Absolutely. In the car in a few minutes.
I think Davide has still one more stint and then it's my turn.
Excellent. Thanks very much. Thank you. That's Daniel Serra.
Thank you, Andrew. Just had the Mustang sampling car in behind Andrew. That was the five car. Richard Westbrook brought in the JDC Miller Motorsports run Cadillac from fifth position.
No, third.
From third, sorry. He's gone back out in fifth position. Only five cars now on the lead lap in DPI. Ollie Jarvis, the first one off the lead lap. We should be having the 0-2 Kevin Magnussen driven Cadillac through any second now into the pit lane. Dragon Speed and Andretti have just come in, the 81 LMP2 and the 36 Andretti Autosport leading LMP3 car. Just check in with Davide Rigon, still leading Dennis Olsen by about a second. Joe Bradley, what's going on at your end of the pit lane?
I've just had the 36, the Andretti Autosport car in. Pretty standard stuff. Tyres, fuel, a driver hopped out, try and get a word.
Will Stevens trying to make up time after that off at turn one and the puncture that followed it. 0-2 in on time. Now the car that looked red in the daylight looks much more of a copper colour under the bright white lights. Andrew is down at that end of the pit lane, but this looks fairly standard. New set of Michelin tyres, and I don't think that was a driver change, Andrew, was it?
I don't believe it was. I've just got down to Mustang sampling, actually. I'm just seeing them. Having a quick look at the tyres that came off the car. I was just still down in Reese. But I don't think they changed driver, did they, down here at Mustang sampling?
No, they definitely didn't. And I don't think they did at the 0-2 Ganassi pit as well. We've had the 52 PR1 Matheson car into the pit lane. That was Nico Lapierre coming in from second, but Anders Fjordback came in the high class number 20 from the lead, and Louis Delatraz for the number 8 tower car still in fourth place, so still challenging despite his problems earlier on, but it is a lap away from the LMP2 lead battle. Kevin Magnussen stays in the 0-2 Chip Ganassi car as Mike Conway is in the number 31 Wheel and Engineering Cadillac. And where's he gone? Oh, there he is. He's in very dark down that end of the pit lane. Now what am I seeing that is a reflection on the window? I must be getting a reflection from race control, I think. So pit stop times, these are all absolutely on time, Jeremy, aren't they?
They are indeed, John, yes. 22 lap stints for each of those three cars have just been on the pit lane. The number five car, the previous stint was 21 laps when Richard Westbrook took her. Actually, 21 lap stints actually for number five car, 22 lap stint for the Ganassi cars, the 02 and the 01, which of course is still out there now. And I don't expect that car to be on pit lane for another five laps or so.
It's been a change in the GTD Pro category because KCMG have inherited the lead with Davide Rigon coming into the pit lane. New set of Michelin rubber for the Pennzoil Ricci car. Looks like the tyre change is finished. They're just waiting on the fuel, still going in on the left hand side of the car, doing a bit of clean up of the lights and the windscreen and anything else they can shake a microfiber cloth at. A little bit of it almost catches the there was a touch with the incoming number 15 AMG Mercedes from fourth position in the category, and that is the WeatherTech car. I'm pretty certain that was side-to-side touch. Oh, no, it wasn't, but only because of the really heads-up driving by both of those drivers. The 15 car coming in has right of way, of course. It's about what would be called in Formula One a unsafe relief. Very, very, very close indeed. Jimmy Johnson into the pit lane. Andrew Marriott is there.
Certainly is. Just taking a rip off from the front windscreen. Jimmy is definitely going to stay in the car. The fuel is going on. Four tyres going on. I notice they're not sticker tyres. These are some of the scrubbed in tyres. So many bright lights, John. There's three purple bright lights on the roof, and then there's also all the headlights. The car is revving. Jimmy Johnson wants to go. There, Jimmy. Leave the pit. pit lane in Daytona, as he has done so many thousands of times before.
21 lap stint for Jimmy Johnson. So it's interesting to see the two Chip Ganassi Cadillacs able to eke out a lap more than the number 5 car and the number 48 on that stint, despite the fact that Jimmy, you know, he was running at a pretty good pace, but he certainly slipped back from the contenders ahead of him. He was only about 3 seconds behind the 02 car when he started. He was overtaken by number 2 car, actually, wasn't he? And then he lost about 17 seconds over the course of the next dozen laps or so, and still he needed a pit stop a lap earlier than some of these other contenders. That's something we're going to keep an eye on. Scott Dixon in on lap 173.
From the lead.
So this is 21 lap stint for Scott Dixon. Again, that's kind of normal for a driver on his first stint at the wheel of the car, which is what that was for Scott Dixon.
Scott Dixon doing what Scott Dixon does, as I seem to remember a number of people saying down through the years. Couple of laps down for Will Stevens, but they're still in the fight. A couple of weird buys, then they'll be back in it, Andrew, in that Cunningham-Minolta Acura.
Yeah, it's down here just getting fuel and a driver change down here. New Michelin's being bolted on, and the fuel's still going in. Making sure the safety belt is being tightened up there, and now it is off the jacks. There's still a bit more fuel, little attention to the front light. And there, beautiful plume of smoke as he leaves the pit lane here.
Also coming in during that, before I say that, we had a spin for the Team Netherlands, the Jumbo car, number 13. That it was Kuno Whitmer in the Duquesne. That car off at the International Horseshoe. Joe Bradley has some of the front runners in GTD, Joe.
Yeah, it's a 66 Gradient Racing Acura. Kevin Simpson has just brought the car in from third place in that class. Now, that is by dint of the pit stop cycles. It's Mark Miller who's jumped in the car. And pretty standard, but I've got to say that what I'm seeing is cars, as they leave their pit box, they are weaving down the pit lane, just trying to get some heat into the tyres from the very outset.
Yeah, I'm down here with Will, just stepping out of the car there. Go. Will Stevens in the Acura Wayne Taylor Racing. Another good stint, Will.
Yeah, I mean, the first part was actually really good. Felt comfortable in the car, and then we managed to get to the front of the pack. And then when I hit traffic into T1, the rear of the car came round, and I don't know why, because it was super strange to lose the car at that point. So I need to look into why that actually happened. And then from there on, we're just trying to get back onto the lead lap and then see where we end up.
Yeah, good early days. Was the tyre flat spotted badly? Is that why you came to change it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really odd. As I say, I don't know why that happened. It's a really strange place to lose the car. So there was a lot of debris on tracks. So I don't know if we had a small issue with the rear left before that happened. But yeah, after that we just boxed, put a new set on, then we could get going.
Come on, mate.
So Kevin Simpson, we just watched that pit stop. You guys came in third place, so you're in contention at this stage for sure.
I didn't know where I was at the time. I was just racing and just trying to do the best job I could. It was really tough racing some of those guys out there. They're really quick, so with the way the cars handle and all the stuff that I'm not used to from racing other cars, that it was quite difficult to get used to, but it was a lot of fun.
So how much of a sprint is it? What's your engineer? Is he giving you a kind of a lap time to go to, or are you really pushing?
He's not giving me a time. I'm just pushing as hard as I can to try to get us up there. And he hasn't told me to save fuel or anything, so it's just flat out as much as I can to try to get by these guys.
I've never met you before, Kevin. What's your racing experience?
I'm the FR America's champion of last year, and this year I'm racing Indy Lights.
So that's Formula Regional, is that correct?
Sorry?
Formula Regional.
Yeah. Formula Regional Americas this year, and I raced the full season, and I also raced Indy Pro 2000.
So that's a single seater Formula, I believe. Yeah. So this is a new venture for you in endurance racing.
Yeah, this is completely new for me. I've had a couple days in the car last year while doing the HPD GT3 Academy, which taught me a lot of what I need to learn know for this stuff. So they've helped me a lot for this race and preparing me.
Kevin, you've got to have a very selfish attitude in single seats. It's completely different sharing a car with teammates. How are you finding that?
It's a little bit different. They've been mainly helping me out the most, and it's a lot more like in single seaters, like a coach would be for you. And they've done a great job helping me out, so I'm super grateful for them to be helping me.
What do you see in the distant future? Where's your ambitions? What do you want to be in?
I'm really hoping to get to IndyCar one day, but future in sports cars would also be super fun. And I've very much enjoyed this race so far. But as of right now, I would like to get to IndyCar. But any sports car opportunities, I'd be very happy with.
We'd be happy to have you as well, man. Well done.
Thank you, Joe. And Andrew, I mentioned a little while ago that the Allegra number 28 was back on track. What I can't remember, Jeremy, and I don't know if you can, is why did it go behind the wall in the first place, the 28 car? No, I'd forgotten that as well. I can't remember if it was accident damage or they had a technical problem. The WeatherTech number 79 Porsche had come out from behind the wall a little while ago, but I'm afraid it's back in the pit, and it looks like that under pit crew power, well, it would have to be, it's been pushed backwards in the pit lane. You're not allowed to reverse, so that's going down to pit in to go back behind the wall. Now, Cooper McNeil has another seat to get himself a Rolex winner's watch in GTD Pro in one of the two AMG GTDs that are also entered under the WeatherTech banner, but that is his full season point scoring car, that 79, and only that car. You can only score points for the season in one car, Jeremy.
Yeah, and he's he started the other car, didn't he? He started a 97 car, didn't he? Normally, the car you drive first in a race is the car you score points in, but but that's not the case, right?
I was told that was who he's nominated in. We've got the 64 TGM Porsche off the circuit, and that is who's that in that car? Is that Owen in that car?
Yeah,
I think that might be his first stint. Yeah, Owen Trinkler, his first stint in the car. It's at the International Horseshoe. He just got in the car. Right. Meantime, a great battle, not for class position, but the battle in GTD Pro continues. After the pit stop, Dennis Olsen is now ahead of Davide Rigon. So it's the number two KCMG Porsche on the pit stop cycle that leads. And now I've said that. No, it must be, because otherwise it'd be far too far behind. So KCMG have done a great job. It's a huge organisation, KCMG. They've raced in all kinds of things, including at World Championship level in LMP2, Nürburgring, in various series in Asia as well. KC Motor Group is what KCMG stands for. And if you don't believe me, go and look them up. Faf Porsche is in third position in GTD Pro with Matt Campbell behind the wheel. Then Gilles Gounon for Mercedes, 97. And Jack Hawksworth for the number 14 Lexus. So Dennis Olsen, Davide Rigon, Matt Campbell, Gilles Gounon, Jack Hawksworth. Not a bad top five. GTD, it's Russell Ward back at the lead of the field in the Winward Mercedes. So from pole back to the lead. And we are full course yellow. Full course yellow for the TGM Porsche in the wall. Owen Trinkler at the wheel, and he just can't get that car back out of the barrier at turn five. That gives us the opportunity to pick up some more interviews down in the pit lane. We'll start with Andrew Marriott.
The 22, you just heard the Gibson engine powering the United Autosports car out, and Jim Maguire, the gentleman driver really, just stepped out of the car, and Will Owen, making his return to racing after 2 years, stepped into it. I'm going to hop over the wall, John, in a moment, and I'll bring you Will Owen. Just give me a moment.
Just over 2 hours, Jeremy's just mentioned to me, of green flag. Cooper McNeil out of the WeatherTech Porsche with a blow out of air, puffing out his cheeks and a little micro shake of the head. He's talking to the team back in the garage. There's more of them can work on the car there. But this is not a good sign for this full championship entered car, Jeremy.
No, it's not. That's true. Hey, look, we're only, 22 minutes away from a six-hour point in a race, which is where points for the Michelin Endurance Cup are handed out for the first time. So the timing of this caution is kind of interesting, and see now, you know, who, particularly amongst the prototypes, opts to come onto pit lane. Where for most of the cars, we're not too much into a stint. They might want to stay out there to remain out front to get the points for MEC, because we're likely to be, this caution is likely to be to take us up close to that six-hour mark, depending on how much, how much clean-up time is taken up by getting number 46 car out of the way.
I think if they tore straight back a bit, they might be, Owen might be able to drive it away. Andrew, down in the pit lane. Andrew?
Yeah, I'm with Jim Maguire. Jim just climbed out of the car. Jim, we're used to seeing you in LMP3, but LMP2, just that bit faster, eh?
Oh, just a bit faster. I ran three of the races last year, Endurance with United. It was fantastic. This first Daytona 24, and to do it in a P2 is mind-blowing. It's fantastic out there.
How's the 22 United Orica running at the moment?
Pretty good. We've had a few penalties that set us back on our heels, but, it's going to be a long race. We keep it clean. We're clean so far, and hope for a good outcome.
We've got some great teammates as well, of course.
Just a touch. Good to have Guy Smith back out here in the U.S. again, and obviously young superstar Phil Hansen, and even get Will Owen back in a car. It's really great to see everybody coming together.
And Jim, you do some great things behind the scenes for motor racing. I know you helped Jeremy Shaw's organization bring young drivers from America to Britain and so on.
Absolutely. I think that's a great thing. The motorsport in the U.K., especially in Britain, is completely next level, especially on the developmental side. So when we can help these young gentlemen, it's great. And there's so many good ones. I mean, they're really showing themselves well.
We just give you a plug for your company, Aero, because you really are at the cutting edge of paint. I think you even do special paint for aeroplanes.
Yeah. The Aero is a film solution for painting. We're on many of the top teams in IMSA and in WEC and ELMS and IndyCar. We've been on the last 3 years winning Indy 500 cars, so we're very proud of our technology.
Thanks very much. That's Jim Maguire.
So, Jeremy, who needs a stop, not who wants a stop? Have we finally got a full course yellow where people have a choice about coming in or not, rather than being forced in for emergency service?
Well, this is great news for number 60 car, because that was running a slightly different strategy, having had that problem earlier on. It had fallen a lap off the ultimate pace. Now it hasn't. It's due a stop pretty soon, but that will be able to stay on the lead lap. So excellent news for the number 60 car. Unfortunately for the number 10, which was two laps behind, that made its stop, its last stop, only five or six laps ago. So he's not going to have an opportunity to gain one of those two laps back unless the other leaders in DPI come in, and I think it's probably unlikely that some of them will. So I think it's probably going to say two laps down. That's the Konica Minolta car that's going for the Forfa.
Forfa.
Yeah.
Forfa 455.
Forfa Athletic.
Yes. Well, that's not about football, not with what happened at Bolton today. Thank you to Hunter Wolfert, who is enamoured of our pit lane reports. It's Joe Bradley and Andrew Murray in the pit lane. Shea Adam will be back down later on. We've got the 64 Porsche running again. Looks like it might have a flat left front, Jeremy.
now, cause or effect, if...
Oh, well, if, he just came out of the pit, I think. So
if he couldn't get that side turned, maybe that was a problem. It's Owen Trinkler at the wheel of the 64 Porsche. And after a great run to second position yesterday in the Michelin Pilot Challenge, he's touring back to the pit lane. And the left front of that Porsche 911. Looking a little closer to the ground. I tell you what, though, that's still got some air in the tyre. He will get back round again. I don't think it will take too long to clear up down at the incident because he'd barely touched the tyres. The pits are open for prototypes. It'll be Scott Dixon who has the opportunity to come in first in the number 01 Cadillac, then Mike Conway for Whelan Engineering, Richard Westbrook for JDC Miller Motorsports, and making up a Cadillac foursome at the top, Kevin Magnussen in the 02. So both the Chip Ganassi run cars, Whelan and JDC, that is four out of the five Cadillacs at the front of the field. And I'm now interested to see if they come or not.
Well, the number 60 car will come in for sure.
That's in fifth place for Ollie Jarvis in the Acura from MSR.
Yeah, but he's back on a lead lap, so you know making a pit stop now isn't going to cost him. Because,
good point.
You know, so he will definitely come in now. The question is how many of the other guys will and who will stay out. If the first guy comes in, will somebody else stay out? Yeah, it's all about Michelin Endurance Cup points at this stage.
Right, into the pit lane. None of the top prototypes have come in, have they? Kevin Magnussen is in. Yes, he has. So the first of the leaders is the 02 Kevin Magnussen from fourth place. As Jeremy Shaw predicted, Oliver Jarvis in from fifth. And Jimmy Johnson from sixth. Ricky Taylor now behind the wheel of the number 10 Konica Minolta Cadillac. We'll start with Andrew at pit in.
Yeah, pit in, but the car's pit out because he's just roared down the lane. Just fuel, that's what I call one of the short services. No driver change down here for the 02. The 48, I'll get down to the 48, John. I'm going to run down there. You can get the lights right in your eyes in a pit lane this time of night.
The engine cover is off the 48, Andrew, and they are working on the area around. In fact, they've taken the tail off, and now they take... The 60 doing the same as well. It's a new tail and a new engine cover on the 60, certainly a new engine cover. They had a little crack, remember, above the back wheel, but there's work going on by the gearbox on the 48 car, and now they're putting the rear wing back on. It's just a couple of ratchet bolts there. Jimmy Johnson talking to the team members as the cover goes back on. Andrew.
Yeah, I'm getting down there, John.
All right, don't worry. Let's go to Joe Bradley in GT land.
Yeah, Owen Tringland's managed to get that 64 TGM Porsche here. All that was wrong with the car was the left front tyre was punctured. Now, as to whether that's cause or effect, I do not know. I can't tell. No damage on the car, though, and right. The car's gone back out.
Yeah, it would have been that tyre that he was leaning on when he went out. So the 48 has gone, the Ally Cadillac, and the 60 of Sirius XM Acura for Michael Shank Racing, also with the engine cover replaced, has just gone out as well. Andrew can have a chat with Mike Rockenfeller, and let's see if we can find out some news.
Yeah, Mike, what was that all about? I was running down the pit lane to try and see what you were doing.
Well, I mean, you know, when Jose was in the car, we got hit by the Ganassi car on the rear end, and since then we were struggling a little bit with pace, and now we used the opportunity to change the rear end and just to make sure, you know, we have a good car again. And it's a long race. We all know it's not decided in the night. Normally it will be at the end tomorrow.
Excellent, thanks. That's what we thought it was, but thanks for confirming it. He got an old man running.
Don't have to do that, Andrew, honestly. Much better to just saunter down there, really. We'll get the information from you. At the Riley number 74, There's a brake change going on the front of that car, and some changes in the regulations, Jeremy, about brake changes for LMP3.
Yeah, that's right. LMP3 was introduced into the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship last season. These cars really weren't meant to do 24 hours necessarily. Brakes were marginal. These teams at this level, LMP3, you know, they're not the multi-million dollar operations you see at the top end of the sport. At least some of them aren't. But they need to make a brake change. Last year they had to make that mandatory brake change, and they were given there had to be a minimum pit stop time for 8 minutes just to make sure that, you know, there was no rushing of that procedure. Well, since then, you know, the teams have got a lot more proficient. They've had the teams for much longer. This year, that minimum time spent on pit lane making that brake change, which must be done any time in the first 22 hours, I think, of the race at any time, is a minimum of 4 minutes. So that car will lose a lap at this stage, but in the previous times, even under yellow, it would have lost several laps. And so, yeah, so I think interestingly, certainly this, with just 6 hours into a 24-hour race, they're making a stop relatively early with that car, and they're going to hope they don't have any brake issues later on. I'm sure that's Riley Motorsports, and Bill Riley, he will know exactly how far that brake system will take the punishment for here at the Daytona International Speedway.
64 TGM Porsche is back in, Joe Bradley. Now, you reported that they just threw a tyre out. That would have been emergency service for that car. Of course it would, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Came in with a problem. Remember, it was the 64 Porsche, remember, that caused this caution period. Now he's had to come back in and take what is a proper pit stop. And all he's done is take on fuel, extending that fuel window.
Yeah, thanks, Joe Bradley. Dave Alcock saying two Cadillacs changing rear wings. Maybe this is for aero purposes, as the air is cooling. No, I don't think that's the case, Dave. As you heard Mike Rockefeller say, his car, the 48 car, was damaged when it was run into by the 01 Chip Ganassi car, and the other car was the Mike Shank Racing Acura, and that car had a crack above the wheel on the right rear, from memory, that they had looked at before. So I think that's what they were looking at there. But they had to take the rear wing assembly off to get to the engine cover, which has that wing piece on. I'm sure Andrew will be down at MSR just to confirm that that is the situation. And in fact, I've just heard Andrew in my ear saying, I can confirm. So excellent stuff. At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with us, 13 minutes short of another pit stop of my washing machine, says Marcel Duke. I'm keeping the housework going while listening to the Rolex 24. It's 1:30 in the morning, CET, 6 Celsius outside in East Belgium. It's about the same here at the moment, 7 degrees Celsius. Track's holding up nicely. It's just dropped another 2 or 3 degrees, down to 13 degrees Celsius on the track now. Andrew is down at Era Motorsport for a little catch-up.
Yeah, John, I've seen some crazy and funny things in motor racing in my life, but never before have I seen a hot dog machine with the sausages rotating. But that is what happening in Era Motorsport.
Andrew,
hot dog machine in the Era Motorsport. And just the number 8 tower car has just come in. We're expecting Ritchie in a moment in the 62. But I'm going to go back for a hot dog if I get a chance.
Well, you've just made me feel hungry, but fortunately, there's a great tradition of that right here in the area where we have the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre, and there's some warming hot dogs just behind us. So I think while Jeremy gives us a little rundown, I might just go and grab one myself. Jeremy, in the middle of pit stops, but at the front of the field, the top cars, the ones that wanted to come in, have come in.
Yes, they have indeed, John. And we're still 8 minutes. We are, 8.5 minutes away from a 6-hour point in the race. Most likely we are going to go back to green before the 6-hour elapses. So the points for the Michelin Endurance Cup are not going to be given out until after that. But at the front of the field then, in DPI, the 0-1 car, Scott Dixon is at the wheel. That's the Cadillac of Cadillac Racing, Chip Ganassi's team. 182 laps completed right now. Second place is number 31, Mike Conway. Number 5, Richard Westbrook in third position. Number 02 is Kevin Magnussen in fourth. The number 48 are Jimmy Johnson. And the number 60, Oliver Jarvis. They are all on the lead lap. In seventh position, two laps behind, is car number 10. In LMP2, the number 20 car leads the way. The number 20 and the number 52 had a super battle through that last, all the way through that last stint. And Nico Müller is at the wheel of the number 20 Orica. That is the high-class racing entry ahead of the Racing Team Netherlands car number 29, Fritz van Eert. The team principal back at the wheel of that car. Nicolas Lapierre is driving number 52 Pierre Matheson Motorsports car, that is third in that class. One lap down is number 69, that's John Faulb. Also Louis Delatraz in car number 8 is also one lap down, just making a pit stop. And he remains, I think, one lap down. In LMP3, car number 36 for Andretti Autosport leads the way. 172 laps completed. In second position, number 54 for Core Autosport, Colin Brown at the wheel of that car. So two charges there. And Joao Barbosa in third position in car number 33. In fourth position, having just gained that lap back with the pit stops for the other cars ahead of him, Performance Tech Motorsports is back on the lead lap with the young Chilean Nico Pino at the wheel of that car. Those are the four cars on the lead lap. The number 74, after making that brake change, is back out on the track one lap down. In GTD Pro, 22nd position overall, car number 2, KCMG Porsche, Dennis Olsen leads the way, followed by the Risi Competizione Ferrari, car number 62, David Arrigon, and then number 9, Matty Campbell, the FAF Porsche, in third position. Those are the top three cars in GTD Pro. In GTD, Tom Gamble at number 27, Aston Martin for Harter Racing, leads the way from the number 39 car barn with Peregrine Racing Lamborghini, car number 39 Jeff Westfall, and number 19 Lamborghini with Giacomo Altoe, that is TR3 Motorsport.
A little bit of confusion down at Ally Cadillac, Jeremy. They've already replaced part of the back of the car. They're now trying to put a new nose on. They've had to do it a couple of times because it was being somewhat recalcitrant. So that's a new front and a new rear for that car after earlier damage. The headlights are working, that's good news, but they're doing this under full course yellow, which loses them far less time than if they'd done it in the green. And Peter Mackay has been talking to Lamborghini. Their number 71 car lost time early on due to an air jack failure for that car, as Jimmy Johnson rejoins. Andrew?
I'm down at Mustang. I've got Loic Duval here. Loic, you're going to go in the car. You're bouncing up and down a little bit. You ready to get in the car?
Yeah, I'm just trying to stay warm a little bit. But yeah, it's getting really cold. But yeah, soon I will be in the car, so I will probably feel much better in there.
Yeah, have you ever raced in such cold conditions?
It's always for sure more tricky, and mainly the out laps and after
be so
yellow.
Careful.
Yeah. So you have to be careful, and after a yellow like that, you know, also it can be difficult to keep the tires warm, but it's the same for everybody. So we have to go through that, and the most important is to survive the night, and let's see where we are tomorrow.
Yeah, great battle at the moment, because it's really matters in the morning. Got to be on that lead lap.
Yeah, exactly. It's always the same thing, you know. When you're in the car, you get a little bit exciting, you know, about everything. But at the end, it doesn't really matter until the last few hours.
I think you're enjoying this Cadillac, a bit more power than the Gibson you're used to.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a lot of fun to drive the car. You know, the Cadillac is a really good car. I mean, I always really enjoyed it since the last 3 years, and looking forward to this race now.
Thanks very much. I think we're going back racing.
We certainly are, Andrew. Perfect timing. The BMW has pulled away from the field. The safety car lights out just as it came out of the newly named Le Mans chicane. Just coming up to the restart now, and we go down to 18 hours of racing as the green flag flies again here at Daytona.